You're listening to a DM podcast.
Let's go on a trip.
Yeah, let's go on a trip.
Yeah, baby.
It's not too bad. What was the question again?
Okay, let's go. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
And welcome to Suddenly Senior. This is a podcast series for those of us who've reached a certain age in life.
That's right. You can join if you're not our age, but it'll be a lot more fun if you are.
So strap yourselves in, check your blood pressure, light your spliff.
Pour yourself a small bevy and let's go.
I probably prefer Deborah.
I thought so.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you know, for kind of 40 years, we've been calling you Deb.
I know. It doesn't really matter. You know what? It's really not important.
Well, and also, we'll just blame the record companies.
Because why? Because you can. Because it's always their fault.
What did you think when we were asking you to do a show called Suddenly Senior?
Well, that's what I am. It's not even that suddenly anymore.
So it's not something you're rebelling against. Some people are sort of almost offended, really, aren't they, when we call them a senior, despite them being in their, well into their 60s and possibly 70s.
Mm. Well, fair enough. I mean, particularly in our kind of business, with rock and roll being the currency of youth, it's a bit difficult to kind of let go of that. Of that passport, I suppose, but unfortunately, it happens. And I believe that you can make age work for you. You can make age speak to well. There's a lot of people who are also aging with us. All our contemporaries are all doing it at the same time, and we all have concerns, and we all have complex relationships with our loved ones, with our work situations, with our politics, with our living. With our health, whatever, and all of those things can be addressed in a creative way. So, you know, I mean, there's plenty of material to mine being a senior.
Deborah, you talk about the record companies wanting you to remain forever adolescent. What did you mean by that? What do they want you to do and be?
I think that the record companies really like to be able to work with young people because young people are very naive. And, you know, if you're starting out in the business and you're looking to, you know, sign a contract, you're less focused on what is in the contract than the fact that you've actually got a contract and the record company is interested in you and they're going to put your albums out or your, you know, songs out and they're going to support you and they get you on the charts and you take you on tour and all of those, the accoutrements of perhaps being, you know, a working musician and possibly, hopefully, famous and successful. And I guess you don't pay as much attention, and record companies like that because it's very much easier to exploit people who are at the beginning of their career than salty old dogs who are, you know, in the middle or the end of their careers.
Wise, you know, to their ways.
Mm.
The other thing, so the Book of Life details your wonderful and varied career and the ups and downs of life in general. It's a very no-holds-barred kind of book, and I appreciate that. Who did you write it for?
You know, I think I wrote it for me. I think I wrote it to kind of clear out the cupboards, the memory cupboards, and to stop having to sort of try and recall everything. So that's why I wrote it first and foremost. But I think I wrote it for my children so that they knew I could communicate to them what my life had been. I've never been sure who was going to read the book.
What did your kids read it? What did they think?
Well, one of them, I think two of them have read it and the other one sort of can't quite manage to
get there.
Correct.
Well, that generation aren't big readers, really, are they?
They're not big readers, no. That's right.
Or big breeders, for that matter.
Or big breeders, yeah, absolutely. But it's a cracking read, I've got to say. You're very evocative. When I was reading it, really took me back to those halcyon days of the 80s and the 90s. When it was all on for young and old, and I think you were very honest in really taking us to, you know, what it was like in the streets and on the stage in those days.
It was fun to write. I really thoroughly enjoyed myself. I mean, it was written during lockdown, so, you know, there was nothing else to do, and so every day was kind of like a new adventure, an internal adventure that I was taking myself on, and I just, you know, I find myself starting in one place and ending up somewhere completely surprising and different. And that was thrilling, actually. It was like, you know, telling myself stories. I was keeping myself entertained through this very, well, strange period.
And so tell us how you remembered some of the minutiae. I mean, I know that you kept photo albums. Did you keep journals? Is that how you managed to remember so much detail?
I was very good at keeping journals up to about February. I've got a lot of Januaries written down.
Starting the year off well.
Exactly. I'm sure there must be other people that do that too. I've got a lot of letters. I wrote a lot of letters and I received a lot of letters. And, you know, that was, you know, and those were the times when you were also sending faxes. So I've got a lot of paper and lyric books. So while I might not have, you know, kept a formal diary, I jot down stuff in my notebooks when I was writing songs, and they were often the things that I was going through, and so, you know, I was very and they'd often have dates and sometimes even boring stuff about, you know, what I needed to put in a cake or something like that. You know, they were all kind of, yeah, I wasn't very good at kind of dividing things up. It's all a muddle of stuff. So I had plenty of stuff to explore, even though I lost quite a lot of stuff too.
I mean, it's great. You put the lyrics to many of your songs throughout the book, but it's an interesting exercise for people as they get older. You know, would you advise, I guess you'd have to think about this, everybody should really write their own book because they get to go back and have a look at themselves and they realise they were probably, they could surprise themselves, in fact, by how good they were.
Have you done this? Have you written your own memoir?
No, I think I've got two. Well, you were very frank, but I think I've got a lot of things I can't really mention for legal reasons.
Oh, okay.
How do you overcome that fear of your children, yes, and your mother reading about this stuff?
Or no holes barred. I think it's good. It's better just to get it out there.
Yeah, good on you. Well, that's very brave, I have to say.
Well, I didn't want to write the Cheryl Kernow style autobiography,
yeah, exactly,
where she leaves out the, oh yeah, I was having an affair with Gareth Evans. I didn't mention that.
Leaves out the crucial detail. That's right. And so Deb, we've all sort of grown up together in a funny way in the same times, and now we're all seniors. We're all over 60. Some of us are even older than that. Is growing old a cause of sadness for you to know that maybe you're in the final stretch?
I don't like the idea of dying, if that's what you mean. Mm. It makes me sad. It makes me sad, yeah. I try not to think about it much. I feel like I've got a good, you know, 30 years left.
Good.
I hope. Good. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you want to be in good health too, so I'm do my best to exercise and eat well and get enough sleep, yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
Do you have any ailments? Will you give free rein to
not really.
That's right. Everybody's allowed 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Ailments. Well, you know, you have plenty of people wanting to talk on your podcast just so they could talk about their ailments, I'm sure. No, I don't really have any ailments, actually.
You don't have any?
Nothing to speak
of. Oh, bravo.
Well, it's all that singing and all that jumping around that keeps you healthy.
All that being youthful in working in a youthful industry, I suppose.
And so you and Mr. Zigia have three daughters, Deb, all grown up now. Are they attentive and caring towards their parents?
Two of them are.
Oh.
The other one's very unattentive and uncaring.
Oh.
Is that the youngest?
The youngest, yeah.
Yeah, always. You see, the youngest gets such a good ride in life.
Mm.
That was me.
Maybe she'll grow out of it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I try not to take it to heart anymore.
Are you not a grandmother yet?
And, you know, hopefully they do it before I'm too ancient and decrepit to care.
you had a great opportunity, really, to find your vocation that is something you can still practice virtually at any age. If anything else, you're going to get better and better and better as you go. Has that been a real strength for you, Deb, the singing?
Well, yeah, the singing, the writing, any kind of just being able to be creatively express myself. I think, yeah, I've been really lucky. I chose well. You know, I found something that suited me, that I was good at, and that just so happens that is I can make it work. But, you know, I mean, AI is coming for our jobs too. So it's a trickier thing these days to decide to want to be a musician. The whole world is really, I mean, I guess that every generation would say this, you know. They would have been saying this so many times. You know, when the printing press was invented, they were saying this kind of thing too. So, you know, it's really hard to know what's going to happen. But I mean, I see really wonderful things in AI too, extraordinary things. But not that long ago, I heard the version of Elvis Presley singing "Crazy Little Thing Called Love." Have you heard that?
And what was it like?
It was incredible. It was absolutely extraordinary. It's just that "Crazy Little Thing Called Love" was written about 2 years after Elvis died. It was as if Elvis had recorded "Crazy Little Thing Called Love," it would sound like this.
Yeah, that's spooky, isn't it?
And it was. It was awesome. And at that point, I thought to myself, "Wow, it's sort of over." And you know, you're seeing it with Paul McCartney resurrecting John Lennon to do duets with, and the Beatles have, I know, just put out a new single.
I think those things are shocking, but
are they shocking? I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't make a value judgment in that way, but I just feel like it changes so radically what we do, and it's going to be interesting how people respond to this. How, if they're happy to trust, you know, so these deep emotions and really letting yourself go into these worlds that people have created, and trusting that you're not being mocked because it's not real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you tried the Elvis doing "It's Only the Beginning"?
I can't hear that one. But
Deb, you had such interesting parents. Well, your father, wow, what an absolute revelation about him. And your mother, who you loved very much, did they teach you anything about aging, about growing old gracefully?
Or gracefully?
My father taught me how to grow old differently from him, that's for sure. My mother's doing incredibly well. She's she shares the same birthday as Leonard Cohen, so she's going to be 90 next March.
Really?
Yeah, and she's in fabulous health. She plays bridge 3 times a week, takes her dog out twice a day, lives independently, drives, does everything.
Fantastic.
She's an awesomely independent woman.
That's a little scary, isn't it, when they're that mobile and able to look after themselves?
She's awesome. So, you know, Leonard Cohen and my mother have both, you know, showed me great ways to age gracefully.
Yes.
And role models are important, aren't they? I mean, you know, because you often model yourself, I'd like to be like that when I'm that age, you know, I'd like to be like that person.
Well, it'd be nice not to be full of rage and resentment and bitterness. That would be good.
Mm.
It's a tricky thing to manage.
Are you full of rage and resentment and bitterness?
Maybe a bit of rage at the moment. Not so much resentment and bitterness.
Mm.
But a bit of rage from time to time. A
bit of rage, yeah.
I think that's healthy. And so what do you reckon is the hardest thing about ageing, Deborah?
The hardest thing about ageing? I think my eyes going is a bit annoying.
Yeah,
that's kind of annoying.
And what about your hearing? How's your hearing?
My hearing's pretty good. I've got a tiny bit of tinnitus in my left ear.
Well, considering that's pretty good.
It's not terrible. It wasn't long ago that it was after a lab gig. But you know, look, I mean, it comes and goes. It's not that annoying. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good things about aging too. So I guess it's, you know, take the good with the bad.
What are those good things about aging? We'd really like to know.
Well, you don't give a fuck what other people think about you.
Spot on. Absolutely.
I think that's the best thing.
I
remember being twisted up and, you know, in knots about what people thought about me before I turned 30. You know, it was torture. It was, I was tormented. I'd have some kind of social interaction with people, and then I'd spend the next 2 days analysing all the things that I'd said and what I could have said better and what I shouldn't have said at all. And I turned 30 and I just thought, what the fuck? I don't care. Take me as I am or don't take me at all. I don't care.
I guess one of the real pleasures about Suddenly Senior for me is the fact that it makes a lot of people, particularly when we talk to them, think about aging and how they're dealing with it, and being able to talk about it is slowly we're getting little diamonds and bits of information that really helps all of us, you know. And I'm centered on this idea that there is a superpower that comes with age. I think there really is. You've got a power that you never used to have, and it's just how you're going to wield it around the people you're living with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one can be childish too. It's less becoming on a 64-year-old, of course. But nevertheless, it does, you know, impatience is something that I still struggle with.
Yeah. Are you going to keep writing?
Yeah. Oh, you mean prose? I'd like to write some more prose, but I'm kind of waiting, I guess, in a way. I haven't leapt into anything, and there's gigs and there's songs, and we've got a bunch of songs that we could do something with, and we're trying to figure out what we might do with them, because it's difficult to know at this point how to proceed in this strange landscape that we find ourselves in, where no one has a CD player and very few people buy vinyl, and they're expensive and they're hard to transport and all of those things. So, I don't know. I mean, if you've got any ideas, tell me.
I'll fax you a little bit later on. Have you still got that fax machine?
No. Actually, I think I do, but I don't know how it works.
And what about your memory? How's your memory? I mean, I did actually go to the aforementioned Paul McCartney concert, and he had all the lyrics, you know, on a sort of an auto cue in front of him. I wondered how your memory's going, if you know.
Well, we talked about
any trouble remembering the lyrics, for instance.
Before we talked about before we started the podcast, I said to you, Ian, that we've got a show and you're in it. And
I'd love to see that.
The show is called Songs from the Book of Life, and it's a summary, I suppose, of the book. I mean, it's an autobiographical, musical, theatrical performance. But I'm acting, and there's a script. And so you talk about memory. Well, I've had to memorize a bunch, 10 monologues for this show. And it's a lot. But it's actually been fantastic. It's been great for my brain. And, you know, it hurt at first. So now when I wake up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't sleep, I just go through my script, and it's like a rosary or something, and I fall asleep again.
It has a soporific effect.
It's good.
I hope Johnny and I were nice. Were we good or were we naughty?
You were interviewing Helen and I.
Oh, right.
You know, and I guess it was about 1980, let's say 84. Yeah. And, you know, they're just little snippets, and they're all cut up with a bunch of other interviews. It's good. It's a very entertaining sequence.
That's fun.
It's funny when you go back on those times, because there's people we've all lost over the years. And with you, I particularly think of Andy Glitter.
Oh, because he was actually a neighbour of mine too.
You both lived in Gotham City.
In Gotham City, that's right. I was shattered to hear about, because he really died very young. Anyway, he was a lovely fellow. And I liked him a lot. And Ian Shedden, the same, also.
Yeah.
Another one who seemed to have died suddenly and way before his time. Yeah.
I keep them around as sort of ghosts. When I think of them, they're around.
Yeah. Well, I think we all do. Martin Armiger. Mm. Well, obviously, Paul Hester for me.
I see them as I flick through my phone contacts list and just cannot bring myself to delete them.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Should move on, Ange, though, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So, Deb, a delight to talk to you. Would you have any advice to those of us, you know, steadily creaking towards old age?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be healthy, isn't it? Mm. I mean, isn't that what everybody wants? You just want to be... You want to be able to get up in the morning and, you know, go for a good walk, do some yoga, go for a swim, you know, and keep your brain active.
Yeah.
Do a lot of reading and, you know, listen to podcasts.
And write a book.
Book of Life. There we go.
It's been fabulous to dive into that book and to have a chat with you too, Deb. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, Ange, and thank you very much for having me.
Creaking towards old age.
Well, I think the most important thing is to be healthy, isn't it? Mm. I mean, isn't that what everybody wants? You just want to be, you want to be able to get up in the morning and, you know, go for a good walk, do some yoga, go for a swim, you know, and keep your brain active.
Yeah.
do a lot of reading and, you know, listen to podcasts.
And write a book.
Book of Life. There we go.
It's been fabulous to dive into that book and to have a chat with you too, Deb. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, Ange, and thank you very much for having me.
Please like and also subscribe.
Thank you for listening. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
Leave a comment, as long as it's nice. If it's not,
that's right.
Fuck off.
Yes. See you next time, Ange.
Bye. And I want wine with my meds.